Well, our schedule's been revised by about 15 minutes, but that'll work, won't it?
Yes.
I mean, really, when you think about it. And it's funny because I kind of coach myself up sometimes. And let's say we got all the planning and everything going and say, well, if something crashes, then you just keep going, right? Well, easier said than done, isn't it? And things are going to happen. And I think, you know, we really should expect things to happen for the enemy to try to discourage us, to stop this flow, the communion we have with God and with one another. I saw something online, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with something negative happened, and then it turned, God's smile came into it, but it's got broad application, put it that way. But it shows two little boys standing there. And the caption under, the two little boys are standing there and they're looking up. And the caption underneath is sometimes you just know that God did that and you smile. Don't you have those moments? It's like, God, you did that and you smile. And God does that so often in our lives. Now, what I'd like for our missionaries to do, just look around this group. I know we're kind of an unruly looking assortment, but do that. There's your team. Okay, I know you other churches support you and that, but we just want you to realize that we are behind you. And I think God is blessing us in our purpose over this weekend to be a blessing to you, His blessing to you, and we want that to continue. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you that we could worship you, Lord, that we've had our eyes opened to that your human creation needs to bow before you and to adore you, to listen to you, to bow low in worship, to allow your spirit to have great movement in our lives, teaching us your words, the things that we need to live by, the gospel that we need to share with this world. We pray that you would continue to that, continue to speak to us. Praise you, Mighty One. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our theme song, 439, Song for the Nations. Just one, before we start that, our plan is, and we've had our plans rearranged a few times, our plan is to dismiss the kids after the offering and doxology. And I'm leaving this baby on. I shut it off a while ago and it wouldn't cut. Yeah, I think it was operator error, but it made me a little nervous. So that Matthew's going to share from that a little bit later. So anyway, 439, Song for the Nations.
May we be a shine
to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us. May we bring a word of hope to the nations, a word of life to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows there's salvation through your name. May your mercy flow through us. May we be a healing balm to the nations, a healing balm to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows the power of your name. May your healing flow through us. May we sing a song of joy to the nations, a song of praise to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world rings with the praises of your name. May your song be sung through us. May your kingdom come to the nations, your will be done in the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come on earth.
Amen. I'd like to turn to a time of prayer. I have a few things that I want to share with you I think is worthwhile. I have a few things to share with you worthwhile of bringing up to date on a couple of things. And what I would like for you to do is, first of all, look around in the congregation to the member people that attend here, a congregation, and see the missionaries that's sitting next to you, who also don't feel themselves being on a pedestal and not realizing or thinking what they do is simple and have not much account, but it's part of the mission in Jerusalem. And so I know if you look there, you could think, and I don't want to mention any names because I'll miss some, but you know all the missionary activity, the type of activity of service of other individuals that you admire, and they don't realize themselves that they are on a pedestal for us. So, and one of our missionaries of that nature is Max Day, and we prayed for Max Day. It's been quite a number of months, years, since he fell from a tree stand and became paralyzed, and this is the most recent note that we have, and so I want to share that with you because it is been a while since we've heard. This is from Max Day. Ordinary day here in beautiful Minnesota, but it's been an unordinary week for me. After doing much better up to my last update this week, has been painful and puzzling.
had been doing much better with the bloating, resulting pain, but I have bloated all this week, can't seem to find what foods, if it is foods, doing it. Unless the Lord makes a miracle in my body, I think I must be looking at having to put up with this the rest of my life. We have bought a double-wide mobile home in Sebring, Florida, and plan to spend 2 or 3 months there starting January 1st of this next year. We need to have a ramp built in order for me to get in, so I've basically bought a house unseen, although Sharon has been there. Winters are tough in the snow / cold and air. As weird as that, I can be cold and 74 degrees some days and not others, so it will be nice to not have to go through the rough month of winter. The result of my telling our senior pastor that I would be gone for at least 2 months, he told me that he needed to replace me. So that means at the tender age of 70, I will be retired. I guess that's okay. I don't believe it myself that he'll be retired wherever he'll bloom where he's planted, but let me go on. I guess that's okay. It just isn't what I had planned for years and years, but things changed a lot 3.5 years ago. Sharon is fine, seems to be doing better with the arm she had fixed a year ago. Still doesn't have much strength, but at least she never complains. Thanks again for your prayers. I had the joy of leading a Native American man to the Lord yesterday in our local jail. What a blessing to sit and explain what it means to be saved and see the Holy Spirit do His work. I praise the Lord. So that's a missionary, in my opinion. Missionary work, pastor all his life, and still perseveres. Note from Hallie, consider the Lemoyne Christian Camp a mission field, and Hallie spent a couple of weeks there this summer and writes this note. Dear Faith Fellowship Church, thank you for paying for me to go to church camp. Had lots of fun making new friends. My favorite part was when we had campfire every night, sang songs, and had a little lesson. Thanks again. Sincerely, Hallie Sowers. And then a concern for the Grays. Our family needs prayer for my sister Evelyn Pittman. She had x-rays and had a scan this week. She has a mass in the lung, has lymph nodes are enlarged. Next step, biopsies in Peoria by a radiologist as soon as they can be scheduled. So add Evelyn Pittman to your prayer list. Is there anything else that people want to share this morning? Yes.
The young man that I mentioned last week, Randy Tingley, I mentioned last week. That fell down the stairs and had the serious brain trauma. His wife opted to turn the life support off on Monday, and it was shortly after that he passed. So the visitation is today, and funeral service is tomorrow. So please keep Randy's wife, Mary, and his two daughters, Becca and Josie, in your prayers, because there's just a lot going on in the family.
Okay, I also want to remember we're going to be thinking about the missionaries, of course, that are here, and what an exciting time it is to have them right here in person. But also remember Robert and Julie Hotallen and the situation that they're in. It's hard to understand how they function that way without being able to mention the types of things that we would like to mention, and without having in the privacy of their home with those that have full, complete trust in some of these graduate students that they've been working with. Also, John and Katie and Tikva and Anya, and the one they're expecting a new one in December, I believe. For Don and Bev Roth, working with the Core of New Testament, exciting time coming up right away now. They've completed that translation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you said pray at all times and in all things, and so we lift these things up to you. We know that you are a sovereign God, that your will be done, and a perfect will, yet you want us to voice our thoughts and our desires, and you know we ask for healing, and we ask for no problems, we ask for all kinds of things that seem to us to be attractive and appropriate, but yet we know that you're a sovereign God, and why would we want to change a will, influence a will that is perfect? And so, Father, we lift up to you Max Day. We do thank you for his report to us, that they do have an opportunity to have a little milder winter to deal with. We know that he will find other places for his service to you. And so, Father, we just pray for he and Sharon as they venture forth and start a new leaf in their life. We thank you for the camp, the Lomond Christian Camp, that's close to us here, and all the campers, especially for Hallie and the time that she had, the friendships, lifelong friendships sometimes are made. We know there were many that were baptized, others made the recommitments to Jesus as Savior. So, Father, we just thank you for that resource, and pray that you would continue to bless all of the campers that were there, all the staff, all the those who helped out throughout the summer in their mission and blooming where they're planted as well. We pray for Evelyn Pittman and these tests, the things that she's having. And Father, we don't like to hear these sounds, but we know that you have a sovereign will. We know that you have provided mankind with diagnostic techniques, professionals, experts, examine this. So we pray for clear results from the tests that they'll be able to design the program necessary to that we would, of course, Father, pray that this will be just simple problems. Father, we just leave things up to you and for your will. We pray for the Hotalans and the situation they are in a country unknown. The secrecy is kind of gives us strange feelings, but we know that they love the Lord, and every opportunity they will be living their life out in Christ, and that will be attractive, and that will be known, and that will be seen. Pray for the Carters. Pray for John and Katie, for Tikva and Anya. We're glad that they got to visit earlier, and pray for this new one that's coming along. Pray for Katie and her health and the duration of the pregnancy. I ask for a good, healthy pregnancy, a good, healthy child, and we'll look forward to the announcement near the time of Christmas. And so, Father, what an exciting time that will be. Pray for Don and Bev Roth, working with the Cora people in South America and the New Testament and all the activities. We pray for all that to come together, that there won't be interference by any officials or anybody in the area, but they can be excited to have your word in their own language, hear it read to them, learn to read some of them, because it is in their language. So, Father, we just thank you for that. Let's move forward there. We pray for Shana and her work here in the United States, and as she's supporting of the Blessing Hearts International and all that she has to do. We pray for Dee and Wickley and all the staff and people there in Haiti and all the activities that they're involved with. So we just pray for the Haitian people. We know that they are beginning to move into roles of leadership and the pastors and things. And so we just pray for the clubs and the time that they have and then the meals they provide. And what a day-to-day amazing amount of things that are done. We pray for TJ and Emily, an exciting time for us to realize that this will be something organized on Western campus once again. So we just pray for their work there. We know that they're going to focus on freshmen, a time of life when they start those 4 years, those freshmen, that they will come looking for where it's at. And so, Father, we just provide that, ask that you would provide TJ and Emily the insight and all of those that are involved in the organization to provide where it's at for many of those students that might be distracted and might be pulled off looking for where it's at, especially that first weekend, that first few weeks, and over that course of that first year, that there will be some good, strong spiritual people in the Bible that will come forward, students, and be able to get the group rolling again. And those sophomores have a heart for the incoming ones and feel the understanding of that, the time that they've had. So we just pray for all of that. I pray for the Tituses and the Czech Republic and all of the children. And yes, we do admire them. We do esteem them, all of these missionaries that they have chosen to devote their entire life of living out the life of Christ. And we know that we're all sinners. We come in the door as sinners. We hope when we go out that we will understand better the sinners that we are, and maybe next and tomorrow we'll be working harder on following more of what this, the Bible teaches. But Father, we do know that we're not perfect. We won't be perfect. We're just the sinful nature that we are, but you have forgiven us of that sin. One day we'll have a glorified body. We'll be rid of all these. What a wonderful, glorious day that will be. Father, as we continue in this the time of mission emphasis, we do ask that you would bless us. May we keep our mind and hearts and feelings open to what it is that you have for us today, to collect from this, to grasp in this activity of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Maybe tell them if they don't have the right on the envelope, or just put it in the envelope.
Yeah, just a brief announcement on the love offering. You can write, we've got envelopes. Does anyone need an envelope? Lee passed them out, but he's got more if anyone needs an envelope. And you can write the checks out to the church and put it in the envelope. And what this off the love offering portion is going to go be divided evenly between these three families that are here with us today. If you write a check out to the individuals, if you write a check out for, well, actually don't do that. Because the way we're doing this, you would cause the guys more work if you wrote checks out to individuals. Yeah. So if you could write them out to Faith Fellowship, either put it in the envelope or put on memo line, love offering. And that would be the very best way to do it. So,
thanks, Dad.
Yep, thank you, Lee, for reminding me of that. Okay, would you please turn in your hymnals to number 3, Holy, Holy, Holy. We will do the big flourishing verse 4, the optional ending on the next page. Why don't we stand if we can?
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are a great and glorious God, King, Lord of the universe, Master of all. We thank you for the special song, Holy, Holy, Holy. And we're reminded of the verse that says, without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Be with each heart that is not fully committed to you. We do this offering for our missionaries today, and we pray that we would have ears to hear the message to follow, and your blessing on the rest of the day's activities. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thy name in all the earth, our God. Would you stand for the doxology?
I don't know that.
How about I just give you a sermon now?
We can
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated. Yes. Children dismissed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Your glory does fill the earth. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought salvation to this earth. We thank you for a hope of heaven. But Lord, we want to thank you and we want to be very mindful of amazing opportunity while still on this earth, on the dark planet, opportunity that we will never, ever have again, but to be light in darkness, to be righteousness against sin, to be good against evil, all in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. We praise you in His name. Amen. Isaiah, in a moment of desperation, because he had been brought before the holiness of God, and he said, I'm doomed, I'm done for, destroyed. He said, it's all over but the crying. But he went from that to just a little bit later in this event, when God spoke for someone to go to be sent by him to take a message to the children of Israel. Isaiah said with quiet confidence, he said, here I am, send me. What happened in between? Isaiah was totally undone. He had this vision in the temple at Jerusalem in the holiest of holies. He was completely beside himself. And then he had this great confidence and strength of God just a little while later. What happened in between? I'm going to be sharing in Isaiah 6 and in Romans 10 briefly, but I do want to look at some things, because what we're talking about is it is all about the calling. It is all about our God. I want us to see this experience that Isaiah went through and to see how each of us should go through something very similar. And when we do that, we will have a confidence that is unshakable. We will hold God's message. It will not matter where He sends us, whether it's next door to our atheist friend, whether it's to a university campus, whether it's to the middle of Europe, whether it's to a country that we can't name for security reasons in the middle of Africa. But we will have our message, and our message will stay true to God, and we will be unwavering, because we will know forevermore that our God sent us and we went through a fire to get there. I'm going to read Isaiah 6, the first several verses. You can try to follow along if you like, but I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Sarah had mentioned the New Century Version. You've heard me mention that. It's an excellent translation, New Century Version. New Living Translation is also. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe was filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. With two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, it's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I dwell among a people. I live among a people with filthy lips, yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am. Send me. Here I am. Send me. And he said, yes. Go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. If anyone had a tough calling, it was Isaiah, because God was sending him to the unrepentant children of Israel, and for the whole, they weren't going to listen. Now that matters, but in a sense it doesn't matter, because Isaiah had a call. Isaiah had a call, and he was to fulfill that call and take the message. So how did Isaiah go from desperation to quiet confidence in a sovereign, holy, holy, holy God? How did Isaiah get there? Because he had a coal of holy fire touched his filthy lips. Guilt taken care of. Guilt dealt with. Sins forgiven. He said, I'm a person of filthy lips, unclean lips. A lot of your Bibles read, I think my ESV probably reads unclean. Filthy lips, a people of filthy lips. See, there's only one true message. This is why Christianity stands out among all the religions of the world. The biblical message of the gospel of trusting in Jesus Christ by grace alone, by faith alone, not of works. Every other religion in the world is a religion of filthy lips, because we just got to add some work to it. We just got to add some work to it. And here's Isaiah, and he has this vision. Albert Barnes Notes of the Bible, very good commentator. I don't know how long he's been gone, but excellent. His words still speak. I felt like God had brought my attention to this change. That this, here he's in the presence of God, and he concentrated on his lips, on his message, on his attitude, on what was coming out. But what Albert Barnes brought out, he said, here Isaiah had just witnessed these heavenly beings. I think maybe you read beings of fire. I think the New Century possibly said that. And here, if you can picture this vision and this chorus in heaven, holy, 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 Lord. And Isaiah's there, and it's like, I don't belong here. I don't belong here. This is a scene of holiness in the temple, and smoke filled it, and they're shaking and trembling, and God is there. And Isaiah's saying, I don't belong here. I'm destroyed. I'm undone. I said, well, maybe you don't belong here, but you're going to belong here in a minute. Because I'm going to take away your guilt, and I'm going to cleanse you of your sins. Folks, Matthew and Sarah, that's your message. TJ and Emily, that's your message. Shana, that's your message. We've got one message, don't we? We can communicate that, but we've got one message. The righteousness, the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man. How do we take care of the problem? Jesus Christ, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Romans 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And see, this is the thing, folks. When you're sent with God's message. I mean, I don't want to get, you know, you can, Jehovah's Witnesses are sent around the world. Mormons are sent around the world. All kinds of, but there's one religion that doesn't come from filthy lips. There's one gospel that comes from God, and that is believe in God and you're saved. You have that message when you're sent of God. And when you know you're sent of God, it doesn't matter your obstacle. Never forget your call. God speaks this to my heart so often. Because stuff happens. Stuff hits the fan. You know, I don't have the pedestal problem with people. Here at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, I'm sure it's other places too, we say God is God. And we say people are people. Then there's a third one, and the devil's the devil. But the people are people. And even missionaries are peoples. But it doesn't matter. We don't never have to feel inadequate, because once God in his holiness has touched us through the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, you've got it. Never let go of our calling. You have TJ and Emily, Matthew and Sarah, Shana, rest of you too. But let me focus. You have a holy calling. Never let the enemy. Sometimes when I get up and I start to share some things in God's Word, and the enemy is saying, are you really going to share that? Do you really believe that? It's like, well, yeah, because God said it. And you have a holy calling. In fact, you are His holy ones. Never, ever forget that. Never, ever forget our message. Our message is one now from purified lips, from holy lips, from righteous lips. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, by grace alone, through grace alone, by faith alone. Amen. Okay. Matthew, you're up, and I'll get your picture back up there.
Let's see if I can do this. You guys hear me okay? So it's been really great this weekend being with you guys last night and then Sunday school and today, and appreciate that theme, appreciate those words. And from Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Honestly, I feel a little conflicted about that, because I really appreciate how you guys are saying us and how we're doing it together. And but I know part of the focus is on the missionaries and their beautiful feet, and it's hard to be on the spotlight with that. I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But preaching the good news, and I talked a little bit about this last night, that how Sarah and I, in partnership with Team and Church Planting in the Czech Republic, how we are wanting to literally preach and share verbally the good news of Jesus Christ with people in the Czech Republic. And while we're doing that, we want to help establish the local Czech church. I really appreciate what somebody prayed at the end of Sunday school. They said not just giving people fish, but the hook and the rod and the bait and everything. And that's what we want to do. We want to train people up so that it's something that sustains, and that the Czech people can do it, that someday we can leave and the Czech people will be able to do it with their own church. So that's our desire. That's what we see. That's what we think of when we think of preaching the good news to people in the Czech Republic. So a lot of times that is literally coming from our mouths, but also wanting to train people up so that it comes from them also to each other. And then with beautiful feet, when I was thinking about that, and actually when I was talking with Dave on the phone just yesterday, day before, I just got kind of inspired with something as I was thinking. We truly believe it's not merely Matt and Sarah Titus going and doing church planting in the Czech Republic. And I like what I've heard a number of you guys either pray or say things about how it's us doing it. And even in the bulletin, I just like that picture, the symbol of the church in the middle and the arrows going to different places. Because we truly believe that it's a partnership that we're doing together with the churches here in the States and with the people, those who are praying and those who are supporting us and those who are encouraging us. And we've felt a lot of that from Faith Fellowship here in Tennessee, from a lot of believers in the States, but a lot from you guys. And we're just really thankful for that. In fact, I kind of like the word, I don't want to sound heretical, but I kind of like the word partnership a little better than being sent, because in my mind, that gives a more of a sense of this continued working together. Not just, I know that's what the author intends when he says sent, but it's not what I think of when I think of sent, as in you send a letter and you're done with that letter. Like, that's all you're doing, you know, you're send those people and now they go do the work. And that's not how I think of it. I really think of it as us doing this work together. Now that's on this side. That's like the sending side, partnering side here. What I also got a little bit, I guess, inspired to want to share with you guys is about our team that we're working with in the Czech Republic. And we have a picture here. One of the kind of outreaches we did was a hike. And so we took a whole afternoon and just whoever wanted to as a church and whoever from outside the church wanted to, we went for a hike together. And this is right outside of our church. Unfortunately, you can't see the church because the church would be where we are facing towards, like that's where the church was. So we were facing the church when the picture was taken. But what I'd like to do is just share a little bit about some of these people that we work with, that are our partners in ministry there. Because when you guys support and partner with us in the Czech and the church planting that's happening at Latvi in the Czech Republic, there's a lot of key people that also you are kind of directly, indirectly, very spiritually supporting through us. And so maybe when you think of us and you're thinking of praying, maybe if I share a little bit about these guys, maybe sometimes these people will pop into your mind and you can pray for them too. We're really thankful for these people and we appreciate them. And I want to share, kind of maybe continuing a little bit of the theme, the unofficial theme of missionaries not being perfect, I want to share a little bit of the human side of these people also. Because maybe that'll stick with you, and because like we're all messed up, and a lot of the people in a church so small where there's so few Christians, like I don't mean this in a bad way at all, like we don't have a lot to work with in terms of believers. So those who come to Christ and those who are eager to serve, you just want to work with them and just as best you can, because that's the church. This is the church, this little group of people. A couple are missing, a few are missing. This is the church in an area of about 100,000 people, and you can see these high rises. They're all around this area, and this is the church. This is who we have to work with. So I want to share a little bit. I'll start with Petter, right here. We really love Petter. He's an evangelist at heart, and he loves sharing the gospel. He's slightly supported by the church to work part time. One of the things that he does is you can see how our church is in the building of the church is in this kind of like a mini strip mall, and then all surrounding us are these high-rise apartments, and we're really close to a public transportation stop. And so what Petter suggested doing is putting out this little stand. We call it a stonic, which means like little stand, kind of like a booth, kind of. I don't know a really good way how to say that in English. And he puts flyers on and signs on what are the activities happening at the church. And a lot of times we call it a community center also, because people understand what that means a little bit more than church. And he gives out Bibles. He's also a Gideon. So he gives out Bibles and gives out just literature and things about what we're doing. and invites people, especially to the evangelistic Bible study where we share a free meal. So that's always a good thing to invite people. Say, free meal and free gift. And then he says, it's a Bible, like a free book. I've got a free book for you. And people don't always know from just looking at it that it's a Bible, because people just aren't as familiar with Bibles there. And I have to admit, when he told us, the missionaries, about this idea of doing a stand, honestly, I thought, this isn't going to fly. Like, this is kind of, I don't think people are going to be interested in this. But he truly is gifted in evangelism, and I don't think everybody could do it. And he has such a sensitive way about sharing with people, and he just waits, he prays for them, and as they walk by, and those who come up to him, he talks to. And it's amazing how many people will just approach him, and I really just think it's the Holy Spirit working through his gifting. And a lot of people have come to the church. They might not stay, but they come to something for a while, because Petter and his gift of evangelism. And on the kind of human side of Petter, Petter's been divorced multiple times, and he recognizes that he hasn't done a good job with his marriages. And now he's conflicted, and he's fearful about what to do, because right here, Veronica, they kind of like each other, and they're in fellowship at the church. And he shared with me, just really openly, sharing, he shared, I'm nervous and I'm scared and I'm not sure what to do. Because he recognizes, like, the sins of his past and isn't sure how to proceed. And we need wisdom as a church, how to help him with that. We learn a lot from Petter, and I also feel like there's a lot of things that we can do to help disciple him along the way. So that's a little bit about Petter. We're really thankful for him. Somebody else that I want to share about is Mirek. His name is Mark in English, but Mirek. And Mirek is our worship leader. He's extremely gifted in music, and he does wonderful. He just has a heart to serve, and he's always jumping in at whatever the opportunity is. He helps clean the church, whatever the outreach is, whatever's going on. Now, he might not be good at it, but he's just, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it. So someone sometimes might have to go through and redo things because he might not do such a good job at it. But he's got such a willing heart. It's really wonderful. And with Mirek, kind of the human side, Mirek, he hasn't had work in, I don't know exactly, but it's been like 20-some years. And his family gets kind of like a welfare thing from the state. And it's barely enough to kind of scrape by on. But it's not easy for them. And it's kind of taken away some of that desire to work, because you got to find something really good then if you're going to have to spend a lot of time working to make just a little bit more than you'd get if you don't have to work. So that's kind of a hard thing. The flip side of that is he's always available and eager to help out at the church. He's always volunteering and helping with things. So that's Mirek, and we also really like Mirek. He's a talker. He just talks and talks and talks, and whether we understand the Czech that he's saying or not, he just talks and talks, so it's great. Somebody else that I'm excited to share about is Milan. This will be the last person I share about. Milan right here. And I'm excited to share about Milan because he just became a believer roughly a year ago through outreach and through a connection with Petter, our evangelist. And after coming to some courses and being a part of fellowship for maybe 6 months or so, he accepted Christ. And it's really exciting because sometimes you see people accept Christ and you don't always see the quick change that you wish you did. And you don't want to doubt that it wasn't what really happened. But with Milan, we've seen a huge transformation in his life. And he shows up to as many things as he can. He brings his Bible all the time. He reads his Bible. He's coming to the discipleship class that we started about 6 months ago. And not only that, but he's starting to help serve at the outreaches. So he's now serving. He's now helping not just serve the church, but serve the people outside of the church and the community around. And so we're really thankful for Milan. Something that happened with Milan, and we're really encouraged by him, Something that happened just right before we left to come here to the States is he's on disability and he had cancer. And so he has a periodic, I don't know if it's annually or every 2 years, like a check-in with an authority. And I don't know exactly if this is government or a doctor, checking at how he's doing and if this is still legit to be on disability kind of thing. And so he had that appointment, and we heard that this authority decided that there was something mentally kind of unfit with him, which is very surprising for us to hear. And so they said he needed to be hospitalized, and so he was. And he's out now. We don't know exactly what that was all about, like if it was just kind of an authoritative power trip, because we see that a lot in the Czech Republic. So honestly, I'm kind of hoping that's what it was. Or if it really is something that is legitimate that's going on with Milan that he's working through that we just weren't aware of, because honestly, it seems like he's just doing really well and really like healthy in his relationship with Christ and how he's doing in his life. I just want to share about a few people. We don't have a perfect dream team as these people kind of rise up and as we're helping these people with this church. And I just wanted to share that the human side of the team, that as you guys partner with us and this church plant in Latvi, these are the people, like these are the faces, and this is the church. And these are the people that we think, God, how are you going to change them? How are you going to restore lives? And we're just amazed at how he is. There's big hurdles to overcome, but we're excited to be a part of this church. And thank you for partnering with this church. Yeah.
Hey guys. So I mentioned, can you hear me all right?
Turn that. We got it. Oh, we moved it. Here.
Yeah, I'll let you. Oh, sorry. There you go.
Yeah.
That'll work.
No. Yeah.
So I mentioned during Sunday school that as we're thinking through what would the Lord have us do, we're thinking through what would it look like to grow where we're at and go where we're not. And we talked a little bit about some of the realities, some of the things that we have been experiencing over this past year. I'd love to share just a little bit about what Emily and I, our lives will kind of look like this upcoming year, as well as some dreams that we have for the next 3 to 5 years in terms of our involvement with Crew and the ministries that we have here in Central Illinois. As far as Emily goes, her life is her work career is changing significantly with a child. So while her involvement on campus was very heavy, it won't be as heavy this year with Karis. And so focusing on Karis, obviously focusing on Western, I will probably bring Karis with us every once in a while over the course of the semester. We'll have babysitters for her a couple times as well. As well as she's working on planting an Illinois Wesleyan movement in Bloomington. Illinois Wesleyan is the Wesleyan campus there. Figuring out what's that going to look like to spend an afternoon on a campus where there's no Crew involvement whatsoever, and actually the administration has been fairly rigid in terms of allowing us access. They don't want Crew to be a registered student organization. We're allowed to spend time there, but even reserving rooms and having meetings is very, very difficult. So that's something that she's going to be kind of dealing with. Sort of my roles on our team for this upcoming year is once again Western, and looking to we're dreaming and praying that we could see 20 more freshmen raised up, that by the end of the year we'd have 20 freshmen that are like, yes, we want to go, we want to reach the next freshman class next year. As well as I'm being involved with Impact, which is a movement specifically targeted, we don't say for, but to African-American students or students of African descent. And so I'll be spending time on ISU's campus doing that and learning what it looks like to do something like that, because we would love to launch an impact movement here at WIU. There's about 17% of the population at WIU are of African descent, either African American or international students from an African country, something of that sort, which is really, really high in comparison. Illinois State University is about double the total population size and only about 7%. WIU has more black students than ISU, even though ISU is twice the size. And so that's something that we're praying about and thinking about what would it look like to launch an impact movement, not this year, but the following year. So having involvement with that at ISU is going to be really helpful. And that's kind of what our lives will look like this year. We're praying that God will raise up freshmen and raise up students that are excited to share their faith. And so that's kind of what our reality will look like this year. I'd love for you guys to dream with me a little bit for a second as to think to maybe the year 2020. What would we want to see happen? What are some God-sized dreams that we could see happen here in Central Illinois by 2020? We talked about some of these. Some of the ones that I thought would be interesting to mention. We'd love to launch an impact movement here at WIU. We'd love to see a Greek movement here at WIU. I believe there's 8 Greek fraternities and sororities, not including the social fraternity sororities, as well as there are smaller black fraternities and sororities. So we would love to start a Greek movement. We'd love to have an international student movement. There's 8% of our population here is international students, and that's going to increase over the course of this next year as well. So see what would it look like to reach these affinity groups that don't look like the traditional American student. We'd love to have a full-time staff team here in Macomb. That is definitely a large dream. And so, sorry.
Yeah,
does that sound better?
A little bit forward.
Good? Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. We're praying that the Lord would raise up more laborers that would want to come live here in the Western Illinois area full-time and do ministry on WIU's campus 5-6 days a week. We're moving in that direction. I mentioned Kevin yesterday or earlier today that we've got another full-time, long-term missionary that desires to. He's applied, and he's waiting on his acceptance, and then would have a fundraising period, but we want 3 more people to come with us, and so that's something that we're excited about. We even think about, well, what would it look like to have an Athletes in Action movement here in Macomb, launch an Athletes in Action movement at the Quad Cities campus of WIU. Those are the kinds of things that we're thinking of when we think of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. We don't just want to build a movement of 100 or a few movements of 100 people here at WIU. We want to build a multiplying movements that would be excited and passionate about going somewhere else, maybe even starting a new global partnership and think, where's the Lord sending us? We'd ask that you'd be praying for that over the course of these next few years, that we could see something like that happen by 2020, 2021, around that time. Any questions?
You spoke about an ideal team size.
For a city like Macomb, we've actually been in conversation with our regional staff. They've planted a similar team in Athens, Ohio, where Ohio University is. Has a very similar social demographic, similar size, similar population. The campus looks pretty similar. They'd love to have 6 people. If Kevin gets accepted and joins with our team, that'd be 3. Emily and I would count as 2, and we would love to raise up 3 more that would want be excited about something like that, which I think is doable. It's a God-sized goal, but he'll do it. Yeah, it feels like it's moving in that direction, I guess I should say.
You're saying we'd have to trust God for that.
Yeah, that's that's kind of how it works. Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
if I can figure this out. I can't. Thank you.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. Okay, hello again. So I shared a little bit in Sunday school, for those of you that were here, some of the things that we're doing, just a really broad overview of how we're trying to give the people in Haiti a hand up, not just handouts, and sharing God's love with them in those ways. And often, even though it seemed like there was a lot going on from the pictures I showed in Sunday school, which there is, a lot of times our days there are spent just at the main mission campus, and as people just come to us looking for help or looking for guidance, looking for discipleship, leadership. And a lot of times we spend time thinking and praying and dreaming about how we can do more to help them, and waiting for God to send those opportunities our way. We don't want to, like I said, give the people just a handout. We want to make sure that, you know, that they're really open to what God has to say to them. And so often we need to be praying for those opportunities to come, and that we would be open for those opportunities. The where our mission is based in Haiti, it's called it's a village called Caries, and it is a village that is separated into about four sections. And the one section is the side, well, the only main road in Haiti goes right through the middle of it. And the section on the ocean side of that road has all of the resorts and the hotels and the beaches where, like, government officials or people that are in the UN or some of the wealthier people from the city in Haiti, the capital city, will come and stay in the week, on the weekends or on the holidays. And on the other side of the road is where all the people live who we minister to and who work at those beaches usually and at those resorts and hotels. But even within that section of the road, there are three different sections of the town, and one of them is called Katkalen, and one of them is called Sumon, which literally means on the mountain, and one of them is called Lodborai, which means the other side. And I always kind of thought of it as like the other side of the tracks kind of thing, because that's the part of town that is where the people are in the most need materially. And so there's kind of like this separation even in the people's minds that they don't really associate with the people from the other sections. And so our first church in that village was in Lodborai, on the other side, as it's called. And we were always praying about how we could minister to the people of the other sections without losing the people at Lodborai, and without just seeming like we were just trying to come in and take over what they were already doing. So you can go ahead to the next slide. This is a picture of Katkalen, the area Katkalen. And like I said, we were just kind of, Wickley had always wanted to minister to these people and just wasn't really sure how to. And so we were just praying for an opportunity, and one morning opportunity literally came knocking on the door. A pastor of a church that already was in existence up there came asking for help. And we went up there to visit, and the next picture shows you what the church looks like. That's what actually most of the churches look like there. It's made out of, the walls are made out of woven banana leaves, or palm fronds. And so, of course, the first thing we notice is, wow, they need a building. but we also didn't want to just jump right in and be like, okay, let's build you a building, because we really wanted to give them a hand up and not a hand out. And so even for years, the years that Dean McLean have been there serving, they still sometimes struggle with just wanting wanting to just help the people with their material needs, and which is obviously what we do a lot of that, but we always want to sit back and think, okay, what is the best way to do this so that we are helping them help themselves? And so when we, that you can go ahead to the next slide. As always, the children are the ones that caught our attention. And after the first visit up there to one of their evening services, we knew that God wanted us up there to help them, and we were still just really praying about how that could happen. And so we attended some of their services, and Wickley preached once or twice, and we, you know, started to try to get to know the individual people that were already part of this church. And that summer, this was last summer, we came back here to the States. And during the time that we were here, we received a phone call that would normally be very sad. One of our partnering churches was closing. They had less and less people, and they just couldn't even support themselves anymore. And so they had to sell their building, and their church had to close. And so they were calling to, you know, inform us that they would not be able to partner with us anymore. However, from the sale of the building, they were able to send a very large amount to us to help with whatever. They didn't specify what they wanted us to use the money for. And we all just felt like that was God saying, all right, here you go. Help that church up at Kotkolin. And so one church closed, and another church that was really struggling in Haiti was able to continue. And I wanted to just read, I know most of you probably know this verse, it's one of my favorites, but Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This was just something that was really very clear to us of the way God was turning something that would be normally viewed as bad. There was a church closing, but he turned it to good and was able to continue this church. And so we were able to build them a new building. And the next picture shows some of the walls that are around it. And it's not all the way done, but it's mostly done. They were able to almost completely fund the building. And the next picture, go back just to see the benches and things. A team was able to come and build some benches for us as well, so they have pews to sit in now. And then a huge surprise, one of the first times I've ever seen in Haiti, the people of the church jump up and volunteer to help us paint and set up the church and clean and with the benches and everything. This was happened at this church, and it was one of the first times I'd ever seen that happen. So that was a huge huge encouragement to us, and it really showed us that God was really working among these people and among their hearts. And just the next few pictures show some of the men that are the leaders at this church. This was another huge thing at this church, that there are so many men who are in leadership. That's very rare in Haiti. And so that was really encouraging as well. And this year, by the end of this, by the end of the spring, we had over 100 people attending Sunday school and church. And it was just amazing. And they are pretty much running things on their own already, but they still look to us for guidance and discipleship, which is also a huge step. And it just really shows us how much God is working among these people, and that they're really ready to do this on their own. And so the next few pictures just show some ways that we're able to help the people as individuals as well. This is a lady that had a baby at the church that we were able to help her with some of just like the first care of the baby. And then the next picture is some of the kids at the church. And we started a Sunday lunch bunch where we bring a few kids from the church home every Sunday and read them some stories and play games with them and feed them. So they get a good meal at least once a week. And then this was a revival we had at Christmas time at the church, which the people pretty much ran that as well. We had a pastor from Springfield come and preach at it, but the people at the church pretty much ran everything else. And the next picture is one of the older ladies who decided to be baptized after the revival. And it was just really amazing to see all of that change and that growth in this church just in a year. And I shared this story to encourage all of you that a lot of times we don't really know how we can help or how really God does want us to partner with missions, whether it's overseas or in the States. But often those ways will come in ways that we have not looked for, just like what happened with this. And like I said, the change usually that we see in Haiti is slow, and this was an exception, and so it was really encouraging to us. So yeah.
Any questions for Shana?
Yeah.
Do you have short-termers who go cold and stay for a month or two or a week or two?
Yes, we do. We're open to any amount of time that people want to come and stay there. We've had college students come for like a month at a time for like an internship, and then we've had groups that come for just a week or 10 days. So, yeah, we're open to any amount of time that people would want to come.
Mm-hmm. The lady there, you had the little one.
Yes.
Helping. How many children did she have? Was she a single lady or?
She has four kids, and those were the three boys in the picture with her, and then she had a baby girl in November last year. And she is not married. I'm not particularly sure if she's living with the father of the children. I know that he does help them in some ways financially, but I've never seen him before, and he does not attend church. But all of them do, the kids and the mom. So, yeah.
This division of three parts of that village, how do the residents of each of those parts recognize when you're from the wrong part of the wrong side?
Well, it is a little complicated with us because we actually live on the beach resort side. And we are, Dee and Wickley are the first people who have lived on that side and associated with people from the other side. And so they didn't really know how to take that at first. and so it was really hard in the beginning for Dee and Wickley to not just seem like people who were just going to hand out freebies to everybody, and you know, that's what we do, and then we go home and to our nice house at night. They really wanted to show the people that they were there to serve right with them and alongside them. And so it was tough in the beginning. We've finally gotten to the point with Lodbor, I think, that they still don't really look at us as equals, but it's a lot better than it was in the beginning. So, but it was hard.
But downstairs. Thank
yeah,
you.
It sounds like it. Thank you.
Changing the schedule a little bit. We are only going to sing the chorus to Our God Reigns. So it's Our God Reigns, Our God Reigns, Our God Reigns, Our God Reigns. And then we're going to sing Our God Saves. Steve, after we sing this chorus, would you pray and for the meal also? And then we'll sing Family of God as we're heading for the food, okay? So Our God Reigns, only the chorus.
close this part of the session. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that these folks have given us. Father, may we be an encouragement to them. And it's been mentioned that we partner together. Father, it's not us, but it's for your glory. And we thank you, Father, for them, for bringing them to us, and that we can serve you in this capacity. Thank you, too, Father, for the food that's been prepared. Thank you for the nourishment it gives us. And Lord, may what we say and do be pleasing in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.